everyone, and welcome back to Relay, the Team GB podcast supported by GoDaddy, where we meet the athletes, the actual athletes who'll be representing Team GB at the Tokyo Olympics. Welcome. Hi everyone, I'm Vernon Kay, and it's a warm welcome back to comedian Rhys James.
Hello.
Hi Rhys. And of course, she's the woman who's been there and done it and is still wearing the t-shirt, let's be honest. Where is the t-shirt? Can you remember?
It's at home.
Whereabouts?
Framed with the medal.
Nice! Yes, it's the one and only two-time Olympic boxing champion, Nicola Adams.
Whoop, whoop.
Are the medals really framed?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. You haven't hung them around, ornamental... goat.
No. I've actually got the gloves, the medal, and the kit, the shorts and the vest all in the frame.
Wow. I bet that looks mega.
Yeah.
The only thing I've got is a stormtrooper outfit. Do you know what I mean? That's the only kind of
your biggest achievement, is it?
Yeah.
You bought that.
Yeah.
Did you play a stormtrooper?
No, I'd like to, though. Yeah. I'd like to, but I think that's amazing. It's pretty cool, isn't it? And what's people's reaction when they walk in and see it? What do they say to you?
Wow.
That's all you can say, yeah. Isn't it? You know, wow, you've been there and done it. It's always nice to have you with us, Nicola, of course, because we like just picking your brains and giving you the chance to reflect and look back at what you've achieved. You know, two gold medals, on a scale of 1 to 10, I would imagine the effort it takes to get two gold medals is 10.
Yeah, it's so hard. I think the second time around was definitely harder than the first, because you've just got a huge target on your back. Everybody's coming for you. You're the number one and everybody wants to beat you. And it's almost like you just never get a day off. You never get a second's rest, especially because you haven't only got to compete against the girls from the other countries. You're competing against the girls right here as well. So it's like, I just never got any rest. It was like, I go away to a tournament, I win gold, I'm like, yes, I'm happy. Now I come back to GB and I've got to deal with everybody else here as well. So it was like, damn, there's just no rest.
You got to do it all over again.
Yeah.
You got
to
reset.
Yeah.
Was there ever a moment in preparation or throughout your career where you were literally on your hands and knees thinking, I can't do this again, I've got to stop? Did it ever break you?
There was a couple of times. I think for me, injuries were always the biggest ones. In 2009, I broke my back falling down the stairs. So I had to come back from that to get into 2012. 10 weeks before the 2012 games, I fractured two of my knuckles in my right hand. So I boxed through.
Is that what the scars are for?
Yeah, yeah.
No way.
Yeah. So I boxed all the way through the Olympics with a fractured hand.
Wow.
Two gold medals.
Oh, my God. They did.
We were just saying earlier on, I'm that old now, I make noises when I stand up. Do you know what I mean? It's not because I fought with broken knuckles ever. I don't think I've ever had a fight in my life, but that's amazing.
When you have those moments like that, it really tests your mental will and how much you really want it. How much do you want this gold medal? You know, every time I'm throwing the punch, it hurts. And it's like, man, like, but I really want to win. And I guess it's just, who wants it more?
What's the gold medal in the comedy world? Is it a Netflix series?
Well, it varies as you go on, right? So when you're first starting out, it's one laugh, right? That's when you first start, that'll do. And then there is the Edinburgh Comedy Award is a big deal, still probably for everyone, but you get to a point where you are no longer eligible or you wouldn't be going and doing Edinburgh anymore. But that's the one that everyone does kind of go in wanting to win. And then beyond that, I suppose, it's just like BAFTA, isn't it?
I guess so, yeah.
Looking for a BAFTA.
Yeah.
That said, scoring a penalty on Soccer AM will do.
Can you believe we're halfway through? This is episode 4. Halfway through the series, it's going so quickly. And if you missed any of the episodes so far with the likes of Taekwondo fighter Bianca Walkden, who basically admitted to shoving everything in her kit bag when she got... And did you see her afterwards? When we did the episode, she talked about the kit day where you walk in. And it was on a few days after our chat with her that she went into kit day and she did admit to putting in a little bit of extra stuff. Yeah. It's on her personal social media. Have a butcher. Really, really funny. We've talked to boxer Chev Clark, rowing couple Polly Swan and Matt Rossiter. They were funny. Polly was like rinsing him like nobody's business. She really was having a go. They're all available for free wherever you get your podcasts. And we love the Olympics on this podcast. And since we were last together, we've been having a little bit of a dig around in the record books, as we know. Sports have come and gone. in the Olympics. Some years there's some sports. Some sports the following year, or they're not there. You know, they just come and go, Olympic sports. So over the years, cricket. Can you believe it?
Is cricket not in anymore? Olympic cricket.
Olympic cricket.
Feel right, wow. I suppose.
Yeah, tug of war.
Tug of war?
That was an Olympic sport.
Tug of war was an Olympic sport.
I'd have been down for that.
Here's one for you. Long jump for horses.
Ah.
Oh.
Yeah, long jump for horses was an Olympic sport.
Wow.
How do you get a horse?
Is it, yeah, are you just letting the horse do it, or is there someone on the back?
Is it like a Matrix moment where a horse spreads itself in slow motion and kind of sails through the air? That's a bit weird, isn't it?
That is insane.
Yeah, it was an actual event in 1900 in Paris, and the gold medal winning horse was called Extra Dry from Belgium.
Well, there you go.
Ridden by the brilliantly named Constant van Langdenhoek.
I mean, the 1900s was mental, wasn't it? I thought all those books were lies. I thought it was all just people being creative. That's just what people were called and the sort of sports they were doing.
Do you know what? Seeing as we've mentioned them both, we should dedicate this episode to the Belgian pair of Extra Dry and Constant van Langdenhoek.
Yeah.
We doff our caps.
May they rest in power.
Exactly. Guess what the winning jump was? How long?
Well, it's a horse.
Yep.
Yeah. You'd assume it was...
quite far.
Yeah. 20 metres.
Oh, it's 20 feet. It was 6 metres 10. So maybe it was a heavy horse.
This is a horse we're talking about.
Yeah.
Here.
You'd
what are they playing at? Actually, no. Well, of course, a horse is not inspired by medals.
Oh, yeah.
Well, horses don't want gold. They don't need gold. Like, you can't train a horse mentally to go, I do want to win this.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And also, do they measure front legs or back legs?
Oh.
Good point. And do they do that thing where you like, do they land and then go on their side so that they haven't?
Yeah. Or maybe if a horse lands with its back feet and they splay, so front legs go forward, back legs go back, maybe it's a disadvantage because they mark the back legs and because they're going back when they land, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe this is something for the next episode. Maybe we should get into Olympic horse long jump.
Well, I want to see Olympic horse triple jump, frankly. Yeah. Let's not even get started on the pole vault.
So there you go. That's how crazy, that's how wonderful the Olympics can be. Now, don't forget, if you've got any questions for Nicola, because it's an Olympic podcast and Reese and myself... not been anywhere near it apart from in front of the telly.
I've got very little to contribute, actually. I don't know. I got the gig.
Yeah. Hello. So if you've got a question for Nicola about what it's like being there, doing it, and actually winning something at the Olympics, then all you've got to do is get in touch. Use the @TeamGB on social media. You can email us. Write this down. relaypodcast@tbimedia.co.uk. Go on. Ask Nicola a question. Get involved. And if there's something, a fact or a stat that you want to find out that you want us to discuss on your behalf on the podcast, with some real Olympians, then let us know, because we'll just get you involved in one way, shape or form. Now, in just 2 weeks' time, we'll have the opening ceremony of the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo. And you've got to admit, we love an opening ceremony. Do you remember them fondly, the ones you were involved with, Nicola?
Yeah, I do.
2012 was special, wasn't it, Reese?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Mr. Bean playing that piano.
Hey.
Yeah.
What an iconic moment.
Yeah.
Queen parachuting.
Yeah, with Bond, James Bond.
Yeah,
yeah. Up at the palace. That was awesome. And I think that's what made it so special, is that we got access to stuff that we don't usually have access to. There was the Rocket Man, obviously, in Los Angeles when he came in on the jetpack. Do you remember? You weren't even born.
Oh, I've seen the clips, mate. If you think that in preparation for this podcast they didn't watch opening ceremony montages, you are incorrect.
There was the archer in Athens, whose single flaming arrow lit the Olympic cauldron. And there's loads of moments like that that we can remember. Nicola, when you were walking down in the parade, who were you stood next to? Fellow boxers, or did you mingle? Well, we know what you were doing. You were going looking for the American basketballers.
I was with all the other boxers. So Anthony Joshua, Savannah Marshall.
Anthony Ogogo, was he 2012?
Yeah, Anthony Ogogo, 2012.
Nice. He's not a wrestler.
I know.
Have you seen that?
It? Oh, sweet.
Yeah, it's wicked. And the beauty, obviously, of the opening ceremonies is you see how some nations are there represented by just one or two athletes. And there's a nation that, if you're not going to support Team GB, then we want to recommend to you a nation that you maybe should support and give a little bit of help to. And it's not that Monaco need any financial help, because let's be honest, they've got more money than the world itself. But they've had 29 appearances and no gold medals.
Yeah, but that's because they can just buy gold. They're from Monaco.
Yeah, that's very true.
I know, right? And did you know that the medals used to be like solid gold as well? but they're not anymore.
What are they now? Full of chocolate?
Yeah, they're like, I think it's like something like 2%.
2%? Yeah. Oh, it's gone down from 100 to 2.
I know, right?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the tin. It's covered in 2% gold. Winner is.
Oh, what?
But it still doesn't detract from the fact that you've won. You've come first place.
Yeah.
Is it actual ribbon? Is it silk? All right, so that's enough about other nations because this is Relay, the Team GB podcast supported by GoDaddy. And it's time to introduce you to some more Olympic hopefuls. And it's a total pleasure to welcome Leah Williamson and Carly Telfer.
Hey!
All right, so Carly, hello.
Hey.
Leah, hello.
Hiya.
And welcome. Here's your first question. We surveyed 100 people and we asked them. Ladies, let's cut to the chase. Are you going to win?
Obviously.
Well, there you go. Thank you very much. Ladies, football is on the rise and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, which is awesome. You girls have done ever so well in your club careers, but now this is a completely different part of the game. It's the Olympics. It's Team GB. Talk us about how you are all feeling in camp and whether this is any different. And how is it different to club football?
I think that the fact that we've got different nations coming in. Obviously, a lot of the squad's made up of English players, but you've got the likes of Kim, Kaz, Sophie Ingle, who are coming from different nations, Scotland and Wales, that adds a bit of spice to the group. I think they're quality players that add some strength and depth to the English players that are already here. So, yeah, it's something different. And also, like, we haven't played together ever. So we're kind of going into the games a little bit blind as such in terms of we can play against each other, but we're not going to have competed as a squad or as a team together before we hit that first game against Chile. So yeah, it's really different in that respect. Obviously, usually you get all the other nations are regularly playing together. But for us, we're a brand new team and we've obviously got high expectations and yeah, we want to go and win it. So that, in that respect, that's probably what's different.
And you two sat there is brilliant because Carly, obviously you play for Chelsea. And Leah, you play for Arsenal. So let's get the old derby out the way. What's it like when you first met each other in camp? Was there a little bit of banter? Was there a little bit of a ding dong, or is it just kind of all fun and games at war?
Yeah, Leah's very aggressive. She's like Leah's diehard Arsenal through and through, aren't you? Like as a kid growing up, so like she's a lot more feisty, let's say, in games, where I'm naturally a Geordie. As much as I love Chelsea, like I'm a Geordie, so I do love when we play against them, and we've had some really good games recently, haven't we? But so yeah, usually I'm like addressing Leah's language. Thankfully it's never usually towards me, but I do hear it though. But other than that, no, it's we're really good at putting the club thing aside. The bubble's been quite nice, hasn't it? You kind of get 24 hours to like see each other, say hello, get it out the window, spend your time apart, and then, like you say, your head's in the game in terms of whatever badge we've got, whether it's GB or England.
It's too exciting not to, like, when you come together, just that one common goal. I just think if you're competitive, if you want to win, if you want success in your career, then straight away you put all that, like, you know, rivalry aside and it's straight down to business.
You've played together in World Cups for England, but obviously this is different. This is the Olympic Games. It's the Olympic Games, you know, and it's on a par, I guess, in its greatness with World Cups and football, one side as an individual sport. But this is a lot of sport with the world's best athletes coming together in a celebration of sport. Does it feel different to stuff that you've done before?
I think it does. I think it's really, it's quite humbling. You know, in football, we're really lucky, the resources, you know, how big it is in the world, you know, the World Cup is such a massive event, but then to come across the line into being an Olympian, to join Team GB, it's really humbling for us.
We're effectively just now a small cog in like a big wheel, like we're just part of like a huge team, which is, again, like quite different for us because usually we're nice, so focused on football, but you're in this kind of massive machine of what Team GB is. And there's just, like you say, some of the athletes you're about to stand and be alongside is like unbelievable. You just never really thought. And I guess for us, like it sounds savage, but you don't dream of being Olympian because women's football wasn't in the Olympics. You couldn't do it. So World Cups, Euros was our kind of big goals, but you get the opportunity to go to an Olympics and like say, stand alongside some of the greatest athletes in the world. Like it's an absolute honor and privilege. Oh, and like you say, it's so humbling because I mean, we're not, like, we haven't won anything yet. At elite level, like, these guys are, like, already gold medalists, world champions, world record holders, and you're part of the team with them, which is an unbelievable thing to be.
Yeah. Leah and Carly, first of all, let me say, come on, you Spurs. I mean, Arsenal and Chelsea, I'm livid to be speaking to both of you, frankly.
Where's that end button? Where's that hang on?
Sorry, Rich.
Oh, we've lost him. We've lost him. Yeah, I guess the question is just how does it feel to be the shame of London? No, the question is... hey, listen, as a Spurs fan at the moment, I'm not going to say much more about football. You were saying before about how you're like, because you're like a new team, you've not had a chance to really play together because there's players from the different sort of home nations and stuff coming together. Also because we didn't field a GB team in 2016. A team GB in women's football at a bit of a disadvantage to the other nations who maybe have played together and played together in international football generally? Does it make it harder or is it more exciting?
I think both of those things. I think it makes it harder. I think we're definitely at a slight disadvantage just in terms of preparations and having to sort of figure out who we are and then apply it within the space of 6 weeks. But at the same time, I think that makes us quite exciting. Yeah. And I think I'm excited being in the team. So hopefully others are as well, because I think that you don't know what to expect from us. And obviously we're doing everything we can to make that positive. I don't know. I think it's like we're like a wild card almost. Yeah.
Where were you in 2012? Where did you watch?
I was there. My dad did really well. Got some tickets in the ballots on Super Saturday. I was in the village, which is pretty special, actually.
You've got photos of that, haven't you? Yeah, put it off on your Instagram.
Yeah. When Jess Ennis, Mo Farah and Greg Rutherford won their golds. Yeah, it was pretty special, actually.
That's actually so cool, though, that you've gone, like, full circle. You went from being a fan to, like, going.
I know you said that it's on par with, like, a World Cup, but I just think the Olympics is different. It's way bigger, yeah, mm-hmm. like... It's just the reach of it and how everybody comes together.
Who's your biggest competition this Olympics?
That's a good question.
It's always the Americans are always like, they just find a way in tournaments. Like, they might not have a good run in or whatever, and there's usually a bit of turmoil in camp with selections or whatever, but then they turn up to tournaments and they're just a juggernaut. Like, every time they're in a tournament, you can't write them off. Every time you think, oh, they've picked an older squad or something's not right, and then they'll turn up to a tournament and just blitz everyone, and you just think, how? So they're always like kind of the team that
team to beat,
yeah. But you can't look past the Japanese, who would have been preparing for this moment since their last World Cup win, and everything's been invested in, like we did in the home net when we hosted the Olympics. Everything goes into every team within that tournament going for gold. So they have had a couple of dodgy years, the Japanese, but I think that's because, they've been building. So, and they're in our group. I think we got them second game. So I think that's going to be huge if we can get
past them,
then I think we're in really good stead for going a long way.
I'm a big fan of American sports. I'm a massive American football fan. And it's interesting that you mentioned the American women's team there. Do you think the reason why the American women's team is so good and women's football or soccer is so popular in the United States is because parents want their kids to play soccer instead of the other sports because it seems more parent and kid friendly. There's more team activities within an American soccer team than there is their other sports. Because I find it really intriguing that soccer for the girls in America has taken off more than it has for the men.
Yeah, I think as well, like, men's sport is so geared around NFL out there and ice hockey or basketball that kind of, like, soccer for men is not the pinnacle, whereas in Europe as such or the nations it is. And I think that's where the girls and females have taken advantage in America and really been able to make it their own and really gone for it. And their investment's so huge, but also you forget that, like, their reach is so huge, the size of the country, the amount of girls they get to choose from.
But it frustrates me that they've embraced it as a nation. And, you know, we don't seem to have embraced it yet. It's coming. It is coming. Yeah. But we don't seem to have embraced it yet as much as they have. And that's what really annoys me. It's like, why?
I think we're just too fearful that the same reason that women's football was banned 50 years ago, because it started to compete with the men's. Mm. If you have both games on the telly, of course, we would rather people tune into ours. But at the same time, they don't really need to compete with each other. Like, men's and women's tennis, it just floats alongside each other and it's no threat to each other. And I just think this country is so fearful, the people that stop us pushing our game further are the ones that are scared that we're going to overtake them. And it's like, that's never been the goal and never will be.
We had the same thing with the boxing. Like, nobody was interested in the boxing. And then we just completely changed that. So it's like, it's up to you girls to change that with the football. You know, you got to prove to everybody, just show them, you know, this is why we're here. This is what we want to do. We like football. We're passionate about football, and really show that to them. Because when you're away in Tokyo, there's going to be a ton of little girls out there looking up to you guys, just thinking, wow, like, this is what I want to do. I want to be a footballer. So when you're out there on the pitch, just remember that and just give it everything that you've got.
Thank you.
Did you feel a shift in awareness of women's boxing during your time in camp and that long period of time training and being a professional athlete?
Yeah, definitely. Going up to London 2012, nobody even knew that women's boxing was a thing. Never mind that it was going to be in the Olympics. And it wasn't until it was in the Olympics that everybody was like, oh my God, you know, we've got women's boxing, you know. And it just really opened up the doors, and man, it just totally changed the world for women's boxing. And I'm sure, like, women's football is just climbing and growing all the time. And you girls are the people that are going to be making that change when the next generation go to look at the football. It's going to be you two. So, you know, just be proud.
No, honestly, thank you. It's sad, but it's the success of, you know, like, our work to then...
It's the legacy you're leaving.
Yeah,
it. It's like,
yeah,
sort of,
it's almost sad that it's reliant on that. But at the same time, when you look back, like you say, on 2012, before 2012, I couldn't have named a women's boxer, and I love sport just because it wasn't, you know, it wasn't there for everybody to see. You know what I mean? And then the success of yourself as well is literally catapulted it. So hopefully
that'll be us.
Yeah.
So let's get back to the Olympics. It's going to be tough. It really is going to be tough because it's a massive stage. It's a global platform. Do you feel that pressure when you walk onto the field? Do you feel that the eyes of the world will be upon you?
I haven't really thought about it, to be fair.
It's a weird one because, like, obviously back in the World Cup, like, it was something similar, especially when we got to the knockout stages and we're competing against the likes of USA in the semi-final, and you think, oh my God, like, it's kind of fight or flight moment, is it? Am I going to freeze out there when there's full stadium? And, you know, but actually, like, it's so weird when you get on the pitch, probably like when Nicola's in the ring, just everything seems to just disappear, and it's just you, the ball, and the pitch, like, just the game just is happening. And, like, you go through all the prep that you've done, the motions, how we're going to play, how we're going to defend, and that kind of just fades away. And it's not until maybe afterwards that you realise, like, the scale of what you've just done or what you've just competed in, with the media and the crowd and your family all kind of telling you how amazing it was back home, and everybody was on at the pub and blah, blah, and you think, I was just playing a game, like, I was just doing my job. And it's like, it's really weird in those moments. Like, of course, like, the journey there, the bus journey there, you're thinking about, you see the crowds outside and whatnot. But I think, again, for us, it's like that excitement as well as, like, I haven't been to an Olympics before, and now you're in it, like, you're wearing the badge. Trying to probably take all that in the village and with all the athletes around, and that's probably going to be quite, like, nice, trying to get too excited about being there.
How did you get the call up? Because, Carly, I know that you're sort of stepping in. Obviously, you always hear these stories about how managers kind of phone you up or whatever, and it's like incredibly exciting. It must feel different for an Olympics, right?
Yeah, you was in McDonald's drive-thru, weren't you?
You were not checked out. Were you really?
It was for an appearance, Leah. It was an appearance. Just a spot.
What did you order?
Double cheeseburger, large fries.
Well, I guess I've got the summer off of McDonald's. You're what?
Go on, you can go, because you actually had the call that.
Yeah, no, we knew we were going to get an email. So it was basically make or break at 8 o'clock in the morning one day. I don't know, it was scary moment. I told my mum I didn't want her there because she said I wasn't feeling too confident about it. And then as soon as I texted her to say I'd made it, the email was...
Where was she? Was she just downstairs?
She was outside. She was outside.
Send her away.
She'd driven all the way. But yeah, the email was like really small print. There's so many words. I was like sifting through it. Like,
where's the you're going?
Cut to the chase.
Yeah. You just like, no.
My experience is obviously really different. So Danny, who's the goalkeeping coach, kindly called me the night before to say I wasn't going to get the email that I'd want in the morning and just obviously keep it under wraps, obviously said, like, but also in the same context, our other goalkeeper, who's actually fit now, she was injured, and he was like, I hate to put this on you, mate, but he was like, there's a 50-50 chance you might not make it. So will you come into camp like the first couple of weeks? And I was like, bloody hell, it's me time off. I was like, give us 24 hours. I'm not sure about this. And I think about it. And I was like, you know what it is? It's an Olympics. Like, might be a chance that I go. I'll just go. So I went to the first camp, which was just an England camp, went to the last week's camp, and then obviously found out that KB, the other goalkeeper who plays in America, got injured in a game. And she wasn't going to make it. So they just pulled me to one side and said, yeah, you're now going. So that was
worth it.
And you you've also put off your retirement, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm just getting absolutely hounded here.
have you put the carriage clock back in its box?
I just busted the gloves off.
you've actually gone back to the framers and gone, yeah, can I have my gloves back, please? I'm going through the Olympics. What's it like with the new gaffer? What's it like with Hegarisa?
She's very different compared to any manager I've worked with. She's very quiet, more of like she watches everything, reflects, and then sort of gives you a take on it. Yeah, there's just like little nuggets of wisdom every now and again, but she's really quiet and very much like
a watcher.
Yeah. So I really like.
Is it a difficult time to transition from one manager to another?
For us, I think it's quite easy because it seems to happen every couple of years with us. four managers in 4 years or something mad like that. But I think she has Rianne, who like kind of does all our talking. Not in a way that's like kind of overpowering, but Rianne's just really more comfortable with doing all the talking, like Hege just watches. But her stories and stuff are amazing when you think that she's obviously a gold medalist. World Cup winner, like for coming from a nation like Norway, is unbelievable of how her team functioned when she played and whatnot. And it's just
winning. She won the Olympic gold medal in with golden goal, like in extra time. Do you know what I mean? Like that experience is unbelievable.
So yeah, she's really cool.
When the kit was handed out, did you get more than you should have?
Oh yeah. I mean, we didn't rob, like we weren't like...
Hey, listen, on this podcast, you can be brutally honest because we won't mention any names, but if you go back to previous episodes, you'll note that there's one or two athletes who have had the finger in the pie much more than others.
I don't think we got the opportunity to, did we?
If I had the opportunity, I would have.
You're listening to Relay, supported by GoDaddy, the official domain name, website builder and web hosting partner of Team GB that empowers everyday entrepreneurs. That needs a little bit of oomph as well, does it?
That empowers everyday entrepreneurs.
There we go.
I like doing that voice. Now, Carly, we mentioned that you delayed your retirement to focus on the Olympics. How did the extra year affect your plans?
Quite a bit, really. Yeah, I would have played, well, hopefully I would have done the Olympics last year, and then I would have done the home Euros this summer. And then I would have probably liked to have said that's me kind of done and started the next phase of my career. So obviously having that little bit of an extension did kind of put those plans to one side. But like I said, I always wanted to go to Olympics. If I make the Euros next year, I make the Euros. But it's not a massive priority. I would love to. But I also understand we've got a great crop of young goalkeepers coming through. I don't play as much as I would like to at my club anymore, which is fair enough. And just for now, it was focused on the Olympics and then see what happens after that. My contract I signed at Chelsea does allow me to start coaching the 16s and 18s. So taking that next step in my career will be the key probably next year. And then you just never know with football. Like, obviously, I wasn't going to the Olympics 2 weeks ago and here I am sat with Leah off to Tokyo. So, again, things can change quite quickly. But, my priority is the Olympics and then let's see what next year brings.
Is that what you want to do next? You want to go into coaching rather than punditry?
Yeah. I don't mind punditry, but I love being on the grass.
Pitch side punditry?
Yeah.
Best of both worlds.
Yeah. I'm just going to get me out of here. Pitch side punditry, I mean, great. Yeah, if anyone's got any gigs going. But it's not like massively on my agenda. My degree was in media and marketing, so I don't mind doing it. But I'm quite happy to stay on the grass with the girls and help develop, like you say, the next generation of talent that hopefully we inspire.
Leah, you're obviously too young to think about life after football, right?
I should be, but I'm a bit of a...
Don't get on at me
for being a bit of a grandma. But
she is very grown up.
I've started my studies just in case.
What are you doing? What are you studying?
Texas doing.
Yeah. I think I've got a good little crop of players here that will need accountant when they're still playing
maybe
when I'm done.
Them.
So, yeah, hopefully.
But surely with your experience, your collective experience, it would be a waste for the younger generation for you ladies to step out of the game. you know, because you've been there, you were there, you led the foundation pretty much. It would be unfortunate if you were to walk away, right? Surely you've got to stay in the game and share what you've learned.
I think now there's a lot more opportunities for us too. The jobs and the full-time roles are much are paid in a way that you can do that job. But the girls that retired probably maybe 3 or 4 years before me had to go back to teaching roles and stuff because there wasn't full-time roles. But now the game's turned so much more professional. Yeah. There are so many more opportunities at all different levels, whether it be grassroots or elite and professional. So I think for the likes of us, it will be a lot easier to just kind of slide into teams and become coaches or accountants or whatever. Whatever you want to be, sort of thing, yeah. Managing the books or the players, whatever. Yeah. So I think there's a lot more opportunities where it would be a lot more comfortable for us to do. So a lot like the men do now, they just kind of finish their careers and go back into the game. But probably 4 or 5 years ago, it wasn't as easy as that.
Now, before we give you a last-minute boost with a couple of verses that we've strung together as a lift before you get into the games, I'm just going to ask you one quick question, which I find intriguing. Nicola has mentioned many, many times whilst we've been doing this podcast that she loved getting a picture with LeBron James. Is there any one or are there any other athletes globally that you admire that you'd love to just run up to during the opening ceremony and say, can I have a selfie?
I'm not going to lie. Like I watch a lot of the swimming. I think Adam Peaty, I think I'd like
really?
To have a picture. Yeah. He's just so elite. He just wins everything all the time. And I'm just like, he's just an animal. Like,
yeah, he's my body icon. I mean, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I think he's pretty cool.
Dina for me.
Keeping it in Team GB squad, I like that.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. Like, that's what I mean. We're part of this Team GB now that is... Like,
I'm taking full advantage of it. I'm fucking
inclusive.
Yeah.
Getting right involved.
More selfies of the team, the football girls, just like fangirls.
Yeah, that's
everyone.
Cool. I like that though, because you know, you, unlike Nicola, you didn't run off to the American squad and look for the basketball. Now then, as you'll both be representing us in Japan, we thought we can't let you go without giving you some final words of encouragement from a two-time Olympic champion and a man who tells jokes for a living. So here it is. This is the Ultimate Football Manager's pre-match team talk. Nicola and Reese, over to you.
The GoDaddy Motivation Station.
Team GB Football, your time has now come to compete in the land of the famed rising sun.
The beautiful game is the one we love most, the one every continent plays coast to coast. And to conquer this sport with which everyone's smitten are 18 young women, the pride of Great Britain.
2012 stalwart Steph Horton is back, while Kirby and White lead the line in attack. Between the two sticks, Carly Telford's in goal, marshalling troops and exuding control.
In the heart of the pitch, the other teams won't get near to the Scots midfield dynamo, Caroline Weir. And with the great Leah Williamson streaming forth from the back, you'll find no card that isn't an ace in this pack.
In London, this team was roared on by supporters. You conquered Brazil and got through to the quarters. And we know you'll do better than Rio 2016. Because in Rio, we didn't even send a team.
You've got heart, you've got skill, you've got it all in your locker to win the Olympic gold medal for soccer. You'll be ready to go when that cauldron's ignited. Four nations together, a kingdom united.
That was lit.
Yeah.
That was class.
All we can say is thank you and good luck and bring it home and sharpen the studs for the Americans.
We're coming for you.
Yeah. Exactly. We all know what they're like. And we wish you all the very best. The nation watches with great pride as you step forward onto the field and, go forth and do it for the nation, for Team GB. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Legends.
Well, there we go. And if listening to Carly and Leah has inspired you to try an Olympic sport, as I know it's inspired me, we've been riffing on everything I could get involved in this whole time we've been doing this podcast. Could I do archery? Could I do breakdancing? Maybe
just
I could be a breakdancer.
Throw down some hip hop, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just let yourself go.
Oh, God. I have let myself go. That's why I'm not in the Olympics. But if you're inspired and you want to get involved, then check out iamteamgb.com, because this summer we're encouraging the whole nation to get up and get active. A festival of sport will come to life on the 14th and 15th of August, with free events taking place across the UK, including, of course, at the Olympic Park in London, which is not far away from where I live.
Well, you've got no excuse, young man.
I've got no excuse. I've got no... As I get a taxi to the Olympic Park. You can register your interest at iamteamgb.com and you may even get the chance to meet one of our Olympic athletes. That's iamteamgb.com for more details. Well, that's it. That's all we've got time for this week. Thanks, obviously, so much for being here, Nicola, and giving your expertise, as always.
Thank you.
Educating me, an absolute novice who knows nothing, Vernon, for being my sort of prodigal older brother. That's how I see it, Nish. I hope you... I mean, I was going to say father, I thought you'd be insulted. So yeah, I went for older brother in the end.
You never know, though.
You're
having
a
wild time at uni.
Now, if you want to get in touch with us, that is at Team GB on social media. And you can also email us at relaypodcast@tbimedia.co.uk with all your questions, comments, Olympic stories, anything you want to know from Nicola, anything you want to know from Vernon. He had a wild time at uni.
Okay,
you know?
We surveyed 100 people and we asked them, name a body part often used in love songs.
Or anything you want to know from me, please don't get in touch. I don't know anything. On the next episode of Relay, we're heading out on the water to find out how sailors Hannah Mills and Ailey McIntyre are preparing for Tokyo 2020. Relay is the Team GB podcast, supported by GoDaddy and produced by TBI Media. Vernon, I'll see you next time.
Thank you, Reese.
Nicola, I'll see you next time.
Sweet.
Goodbye, everybody. Bye.